here. Jesus, you're here, and all things are possible now that you're here. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we humbly and reverently approach thy throne of mercy this morning, Lord, knowing that you, the author and finisher of our faith, have come down in this hour to do just that, to finish that which you have begun. And Father, we just commit, Lord, this day, this wonderful, beautiful Easter morning, Lord, the time of the resurrection soon at hand, Father, we just commit our lives, and we pray, Father, that you'd help us to be holy and without blame in your presence. And Father, we just commit this service. We ask that you would be blessed, Father, and that we would be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We'd open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, and beginning at verse 3, Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." So we ask ourselves, when did this take place? When? Well, the Bible tells us, when we were yet in him before the foundations of the world, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame in his presence. So when did he ordain us to be holy and without blame, to stand in his presence? When we were yet in him before the foundations of the world. Therefore, in love, he has predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, what I want to speak to you about this morning is our coming adoption. You see, when Pentecost went wrong, or where Pentecost went wrong, is that they thought of being a son or daughter of God was enough. Being born again, being baptized with the Holy Spirit, that's it. That's the end of our journey. But being born into a family is just the beginning, Brother Branham said. And he said, that's where Pentecost went wrong. He said, when we've come to the place that we have the mind of the Father, then we will be ready for the adoption of sons. And the adoption is a change of the body to be conformed to his own glorious and glorified body. Now in Romans 8, verses 28 to 30, we read, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." Now, the word glorified, we know, comes from the Greek word doxa, which means the opinion, the values, and the judgment of God. Therefore, until we have the same opinion, the same values, the same judgment as our Father, we will never receive a body change that is commensurate with that mindset. And this morning we'll learn the path to perfection in our flesh, which comes by the renewing of the mind. Paul taught us in Romans 12 and 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." It all begins in the mind. The NIV states, which is your spiritual act of worship. So our spiritual act of worship is to present our bodies to God as a living sacrifice that is holy and that is acceptable unto God. Not acceptable to yourself. Our standards aren't quite his standards. Our thoughts are not his thoughts, he said. Paul adds, and be not conformed to this world. Now the word conformed means do not be changed by, do not change your outward appearance to the things of this world. All right? But rather be transformed, that means changed from within, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me that every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So listen, brother, sister, if we truly believe in sovereignty, we truly believe God is sovereign and he is control over every aspect of our life. You know, Brother Branham, on his way home from Jeffersonville, he had three messages he was going to preach when he got home. One of them was the mark of the trail of the beast, and another was sovereignty. And I don't know what the third title was, but he had the notes in his briefcase when he was killed. But if we understood sovereignty, we understand, like Brother Branham said, and I've read Dr. Price and all the good books on sovereignty, Bullinger and Price and all, and they're very, very good. And as I was talking to Brother Nick, I believe it was the other day, that these brothers taught you, or maybe it was Adam, I don't remember which he was, I mentioned this too, but these brothers taught you how to think. I mean, they taught you how to ask questions, but Brother Branham had the answers. You see, these men didn't have the answers, but they taught you. It was Michael on the phone. I remember that now. And but anyway, these men of God had great ability to ask questions, but they just didn't have all the answers. And as I studied Dr. Price on the on sovereignty, I found that he had a great ability to break things apart, but he didn't bring it down to where Brother Branham did. Brother Branham, when he brought it down to the point or the place where he said, look, he said, God knew how many gnats it would take to make a pound of tallow and how many times each of those gnats would blink their eyes. Now that's sovereignty. In other words, God knows every little jot and tittle. Everything about you. He knows every hair that's misplaced. And he knows every thought that's misplaced as well, because the Word of God is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So Brother Brown said Pentecost went wrong because they thought, hey, we're sons of God. We're daughters of God. That means we're in the family. That means we're going to go in the rapture. No, it doesn't mean you're going in the rapture. The remnant, they're no different from the bride in makeup. The only difference is they're not in the election. They're not in the election. And you have many, many sons that are not adopted. Only those that receive the mind of the Father that are worthy to put on that glorified body, that body which God ordained for you before the foundations of the world. And so this morning, which is Easter morning, which we commemorate the resurrection of the Son of God when he led captivity captive and the Old Testament saints came up with him at his resurrection. And we know that the resurrection and the rapture of the church age bride will also take place in the springtime. And since we are now in the springtime, I hope that we're looking with great anticipation to the resurrection and rapture that we are ordained to receive in this hour. Could it be this year? I don't know. I'd love to have it take place this year, but I just don't know. I certainly hope so. For I've longed and I've lived for the resurrection and the change of the body and the catching away of the saints for more than 33 years now. Now, we had a vindicated prophet in this hour that told us that the rapture will take place in the springtime, and I'm hoping and believing for it to be this year. And if it's not, then I've just got one more year to prepare. Now, with this in mind, I would like to take for our text this morning a message that the Apostle Paul gave us concerning our resurrection and the change of the body. I've entitled this message, Three Stages to Perfection. Three stages to perfection, or three bodies to perfection. Now we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it describes to us the quickening of our bodies and the way in which it will happen. Like a spark that is lit off in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 34 to 58, it describes to us the process of life from our natural birth in this terrestrial being that we now live in to the celestial being we go to when this terrestrial being passes away, and on upwards into perfection as we move into our glorified bodies. Therefore, our perfection comes in threes, just as we are justified, then sanctified, and then filled with the Holy Spirit. So too, our perfection in the flesh begins with our terrestrial body, giving way to our celestial body, which then comes together and forms our glorified body. God always perfects in threes. Now, when the body terrestrial and the body celestial come together to bring forth a body which has been glorified in the presence of God, that is our hope. That is what we come to church for. That is what we live our lives in hope for, this great change of the body which begins by the renewing of our mind. Notice it starts by our being quickened in our spirit, and then the word which quickens us begins to form a body around it. You know, as I get older, and Brother Branham, he, I don't know if he was prophesying, or I don't know if just my wife and I are spoken word seed, because he said when that man and woman get married, he loses his hair and she puts on weight. So that's kind of you see, we're spoken word, I guess, because that's it's happening to us. But anyway, the body's falling apart. That's what it is. It's a sign that their body's falling apart. And the fact is, I was brother sent me a picture the other day of Levon and I on our wedding day, and walking out of the church, and I looked at us and how young we were, and how I was maybe 170 pounds, and my wife was just a little twig. And, you know, I just think about those days, and I think, you know, that's the way we're going to be on the other side. We're going to have a body that's perfect, glorified. So this old rotten carcass here that's just taken on too much water and too much things during my lifetime is going to make way. And I'm really looking forward to that, because what I want you to understand is that right now, if you're born again, you have a celestial body that's waiting you. And that celestial body is young. Brother Branham, when he went over to the other side, they were all young. He said a woman 90 years old when she gave her life to the Lord. He said she was the most beautiful woman she'd ever seen. And he said just very young and very, very sweet looking. And so that's our hope. Now, the Apostle John told us that this coming into the image of the Father will take place at his appearing, when we see him as he really is. And he said in 1 John 3, verse 1 to 3, he said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear," that's at his appearing, "we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure." So if you have that hope of the change of the body, you begin to change yourself from here. You begin to purify yourself in your mind, in your heart. Now, Brother Branham explained this in the Explaining Healing in Jairus. He said the devil's just trying to scare you out of something. He's trying to put something off somewhere else and say, some of these days you'll be this. You are now. Now we're sons of God. Now we're seated together in heavenly places. Now we have all powers in heaven and earth. See, now we have it. Not in the millennium. We don't need it then. We got it now. Right. Right now we are the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that we'll be like him. What you are here is a reflection of what you are somewhere else. Those who he called, he justified. Is that right? Those who he justified, he has glorified. Already in the presence of the Father, we have a glorified body. Whew. Wasn't that deep, all right? We'll find out whether it's right or not. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. Is that right? That's right. So right now, and what we are there is a reflection, or here rather, what we are here is a reflection of what we are somewhere else. So if your deeds are evil, you know where it comes from, and you know where your other body is waiting. I want you to think about this, because if it doesn't affect you, you're dead. You're just dead. Now, those are very strong words that Brother Branham is saying. Very strong, but very true, and right from this Bible, which is the promises of God to us. What we are here is a reflection of where we're going, because we're moving up to our perfection. When word is piled upon word, it takes a hold of every fiber of our body, Brother Branham said. It's building a new body. As we eat food to give us new cells in this body, we eat the Word of God to produce new cells for that celestial body. Now, trying to do God a service, he said, if you were ordained from the beginning of the earth to that word, every word will come right on top of word. Like a human cell will not have one human cell, the next cell a dog, the next cell of a cat. It'll all be human cells. But it's got to have a cell first to start with. Is that right? Say amen. Congregation says amen. Well, if it is the word cell to start with, the other word cells are ordained to make it a full body. Feed your spirit. Now, with this in mind, we'll go to 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection from the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we be found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. And if this in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that sleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. Now here's our key. There is an order to the resurrection. Christ the first fruits, afterward, they that are Christ at his parousia. Now to save time, let's skip forward to verse 35. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? You see, there is here's that same question. He says, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. Now he's talking about sowing and reaping here, and he's talking about the body. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. And it may chance of wheat or some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him. That's glorified. You see, if it pleases God, it's look, God has all intentions to give you a glorified body. It begins by adding word upon word, get the new birth. It begins building a celestial body, which is perfect. Only it doesn't have fibers and tissues to it. So when you pass away from this life, that you go to that celestial body, it's perfect. Brother Branham said he could feel them, he could hug them, he could hold their hand, everything else. He said, but they just didn't eat. So that celestial body has to come back down to earth to pick up the old dust so that it has a cloaking, it has a visibility to it. Then it becomes a glorified body. But what about us? What about us? We're in this rotting body right now. What happens? It's got to be united with our celestial body. Then this body becomes transformed to that body. Only it has ability to eat and live and these things. And Now, here's the most important key to understanding the change of the body. But God gives that seed that was sown a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. God did not give you the body that is to be manifested and that is to live forever to begin with. He plants a seed first, a terrestrial body. The spoken word, God's spoken word, is the original seed. All flesh is not the same flesh, and all seeds do not have the same life within them. Every seed, therefore, must come after its own nature, the nature of the one whose life it was drawn from. But there is one kind of flesh of men, another of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds, he says. Therefore, you don't have to worry about coming back as a bird or some other animal like the Hindu people do. If you had representation in him to begin with, you'll come forth in his image. If he is the source of the seed life that's in you, you will come forth in the image of him. All he foreknew, he has already justified, and all he has justified, he has already, past tense, glorified. You came forth from his mind, you come into his image. That's the process. Now, from who is this Melchizedek? He says, and remember, you and your eyes, your statue, whatever you was, you were in his thinking at the beginning. And the only thing that you are is the expression word. After he thought it, he spoke it, and here you are. If it isn't, if you wasn't in his thinking, there's no way at all for you to ever be there, for he's the one that gives eternal life. You remember how we read in the scripture, not him that willeth or him that runneth, but God. And that his predestination might stand true. He could choose before any time who God's sovereign in his choosing. Did you know that? God sovereign, who was back yonder to tell him a better way to make the world? Who would dare to tell him he was running his business wrong? Even the very word itself, very sovereign, even the revelation is sovereign. He reveals to whom he will reveal. The very revelation itself is sovereign in God. That's how people pound at things and jump at things and hit at things and not knowing what they're doing. But God is sovereign in his works. And from who is this Melchizedek, paragraph 52, he says, now, we find at the beginning his attributes. Now, you were with him then, then is when the book of life comes into view. Now, we read over here in Revelation, the 13th chapter, the 8th verse, that the beast that comes upon the earth in these last days will deceive all those people on the earth whose names were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundations of the world. Think of it. Before Jesus was even born, 4,000 years before he came to the earth, and several thousand years before you come to the earth, Jesus, in God's mind, died for the sins of the world. And the Book of Life was made, and your name was put on that Book of Life before the foundations of the world. That's the Bible truth, see? Your name was ordained of God and placed on that Book of Life before the foundations of the world. You were there in His attributes. You don't remember it. No, because you're just a part of His life. You are a part of God when you become a son or daughter of God, just as you're a part of your earthly father. That's right, you are. The male carries the hemoglobin, the blood. And when that has gone into the egg, then you become a part of your father, and your mother is a part of your father also. So you're all a part of your father. Glory, that lets the denomination out altogether. It certainly does. God in all, the only place. Notice now His attributes. Then the attribute was first God, and the attribute itself, all in one, without being expressed. Then when He expressed secondarily, He became then the Word. And then the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. St. John, the first chapter and the first verse. Notice, this is the beginning, but before the eternal. Notice, in the beginning was the Word. When the time began, it was the Word. But before it was the Word, it was an attribute, a thought. Then it was expressed. In the beginning was the expression, the Word. Now we're getting where Melchizedek is. That's this mysterious person. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. And then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hold that there now. Notice His first being was Spirit, God, supernatural. All right, that great eternal second, He began to form Himself toward flesh in the theophanies, called the Word body. This then is the state He was in when He met Abraham, was called Melchizedek. He was in the form of theophany. Now we'll get to that and prove it in a few minutes, the Lord willing. He was the Word. A theophany is something that you could not see. It could be right here and you cannot tell it, or you cannot see it. It's just like when the television, that's in another dimension, television. People are moving right in through this room now. They're singing. There's colors also, but the eye is only subject to the five senses. Your whole being is only subject to five senses, rather, and you are only subject to what the sight has been limited to see. But there is another dimension that can be seen by the transformation of television. Now, television does not manufacture a picture. A television only channels it into a circuit, and then the television screen picks it up. But the picture's there to begin with. Television was here when Adam was here. Television was here when Elijah sat on Mount Carmel. Television was here when Jesus of Nazareth walked the shores of Galilee. But you're just now discovering it. They wouldn't have believed it back there. You'd have been crazy to have said something like that. But now it's become a reality, and so it is that Christ is here. The angels of God are here. And someday the millennium to come, it'll be just more real than television or anything else because they are here. You see, our bodies aren't tuned. If your body was tuned like Brother Branham, you'd know when he comes. He said, you know who I'm waiting for? I'm waiting for you. He's here. There he is right there. You see? But your bodies are not tuned to that. We need to become tuned to that. Now, I want you to pay close attention to this next verse, verse 40. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. Notice he's identifying two different kinds of bodies. There are earthly bodies and heavenly bodies. He says the glory of the celestial is one, the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is, not will be, but there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, he's earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. There's your promise right there. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So you are not going to inherit anything without first getting a change that will not be corrupt in itself. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. So we have two classes of people here. The ones who go on before us, those who sleep, and the ones who get a change. So the others who never go to sleep or pass away in the flesh, these are the ones living, are the ones who get the change. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. So notice it says, the dead shall be raised what? Incorruptible. They don't come back to get their change. They come back changed. They come back incorruptible. If it's incorruptible, they don't come back as an old man. They come back young, incorruptible. So they are raised incorruptible. Then I do not believe those getting a body change in that tent will be those who have already passed away. That change that takes place in that tent will have to be for us that are living. They came in with missing limbs, walked out, whole people. Didn't know what took place. And we shall be changed, he says. Notice, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we that are living shall be changed. See, they come back incorruptible, but we are the ones that will receive the change. Now hold that thought, because I'm going to show you how that takes place a little later on in this message. And I'll show you from Brother Branham's own words. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. A dead man, now remember, those who are dead, or we shall say, those that have fallen asleep, come back with an incorruptible body, but we will have to get our change. Those that are asleep are no longer mortal. Right? They're dead. So he's speaking of the change here that will affect the living, those who are mortal. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, Brother Bram said from his sermon, God's only provided place of worship. He said, and it helped me because I used to have an idea when a person died, just their soul went off. But then, when he quoted that to me, that if this earthly tabernacle of our habitation be dissolved, we have one already waiting. See? And we've got to have everything in threes to make a perfection. See? And there's a body here, that's just flesh. Then that body there, which is the celestial body, and then the glorified body in the resurrection. See, that makes it complete. So it's not a myth, it's not an idea, it's not a spirit, it's a man and a woman like you are, just exactly. Now, paragraph 21. You who trust me to tell you the truth, the dear Lord Jesus, one morning about 8 o'clock, he let me see that land. Now, it wasn't a vision, but I don't know what to say, ever what it was just as real as I'm speaking to you here. Now, I seen the faces of those people, and I couldn't recognize them. They had turned back young again. And they was just real, and I'd hold their hands and things, just as real. And it helped me because I used to have an idea when a person died, just their soul went off. But then when he quoted that to me, that if this earthly tabernacle or habitation we have already won, see? And we've got to have everything in threes to make perfection, see? And there's the body here, there's the body there, which is a celestial body, and then there's a glorified body in the resurrection. See, that makes it complete. See? So it's not a myth, it's not an idea, it's not a spirit, it's a man and a woman like you are, just exactly. So we have a body terrestrial, and we go to a body celestial, and then the body celestial comes back and picks up the body terrestrial and joins itself to it, and we thus have a body glorified. So when the celestial unites with the terrestrial, it brings us to perfection in the flesh. Like Brother Brown said, you won't have perfection this side of the resurrection. But we will have perfection there. Now, we that are living in this body terrestrial, which is not the image it is ordained to be in. So our body celestial will have to come to the earth to join itself to this earthly terrestrial body to become that glorified body. And thus we receive our adoption, to wit the redemption of our body. And that body celestial is in the image of our body terrestrial, but about 16 to 20 years of age. Somewhere around that, so it brings the youth back to our body and quickens it back to time of life again, just like God did for Abraham and Sarah. Now, from Jehovah Jireh, Brother Branham said, the coming of Christ is in a trinity. He came first to redeem his bride. He comes next to receive his bride. He comes next with his bride as king and queen to reign through the millennium. You know that. Everything is in a trinity, and we're in a trinity. We have a mortal body, a celestial body, and then a glorified body. Three stages brings us back to perfection again, like Eden. Did you ever wonder why the trees or the three stars came together when Jesus was born? Brother Brown tells us why the three conjunction of stars came together. From the reproach for the word, he said, they've got an old astronomy calendar marking there that they dug up. And it's exactly that time that this constellation came in, and the constellation of three stars, and threw right down towards Babylon, and the wise men brought it down. You remember they crossed their orbits, low swung, billions of light years apart. And those Jewish wise men that was up in Babylon, they seen that constellation come into that constellation, them stars. Three of them moving together and making that one morning star. And they knew that by the word of God that was the time when them stars came together that the Messiah would be on earth. That's the reason they started. Here he is, born King of the Jews. Here he is. Or where is he? Somewhere for when those stars come into their celestial bodies, become into one great celestial body here. When them three moves together, Messiah will be on earth in that time. And when they moved into their orbits, them men knew that the Messiah was on earth. Well, isn't it interesting that when Jesus was raised from the dead and God raised him up, he went to his glorified body. Now, that glorified body is in that seventh dimension. Brother Branham went to the fifth dimension. Was it fifth or sixth dimension? Sixth dimension. And Brother Branham and the people were in a celestial body. And Brother Branham said, you see, God didn't mean for us to be in celestial bodies. They're only there for temporary time. They've got to come back and unite with this body. Because we're to have a body like his own glorified body. You see? When those three stars, when those three celestial bodies came together to form one star. The same. Our three bodies come together to form one glorified body. Your terrestrial, your celestial forms that third, which is your complete. When the three bodies form together again, it will be when the earthly tabernacles unite with the celestial body to give us a glorified body. And we come to perfection in the flesh. The dead in Christ are in spirit body now. And they come back to pick up their physical body. But our change of the body brings us to a glorified body, which is a union of the terrestrial and celestial, the union of our physical and spiritual body coming together. Threes. Everything's in threes. There's one body here, then that body which we go to call the celestial body, and then the glorified body in the resurrection. See? And the Brother Brown said that makes it complete. Justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. First pole, second pole, third pole. It's not finished till the third pole. You see? The full restored word, body, soul, spirit. Total restoration, praise, honor, and glory. Brings restoration, faith, hope, and love. Brings restoration, etc. Now remember, there are two types of people living today. The one who is earthbound, and the other who is ordained to have a body change that will unite with its immortal celestial body. Those who are spiritual mind the things of God, but those who are earthbound mind the things of this world. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3 and verse 20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also, we look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And we know that God himself is coming this hour to unite our body with the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. This enlightening brings us into relationship as sons, in which we develop a gnosko, an intimate relationship with our Father, a relationship which we do not remember having with Him before the foundations of the world, because we bypassed our theophany, which is our spirit body or our celestial body. But as this gnosko develops into full maturity, it brings us into an assurance of our confidence, which gives us great boldness of faith, which is called parhesia. Now in Acts 3:19 it says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." We've got to repent, which means change our thinking. We've got to be willing to change our minds in order to be converted. We must let our own thinking go. We have no thoughts coming, Brother Branham said. No thought, period. He said, "Let this mind that was in you be in Christ," or "this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus." Now, Brother Branham said that we've got to have everything in threes to make a perfection, see? And there's one body here, there's one body called the celestial body, then we go to the they come together, they form a glorified body in the resurrection. That makes it complete. Now, the angel of the Lord told Brother Branham when he was translated beyond the curtain of time that these people were his converts to Christ. And then Brother Branham told us, be sure not to miss this. He said, burn every bridge of the world behind you. He said, you don't want to miss this. He said, if words could just explain it, but they can't. It was so sublime. He said, sublime, that's not even a word. It just doesn't explain it. He said, perfect, that just doesn't come near it. From the message faith, he said, now the soul is that part of you who knows and understands. It's your intelligence. You remember the vision I had not long ago, or the little translation, and went into that place and saw those people. It's interesting, we saw the bed yesterday, or Friday, Michael and I and Nick and the ones that came down with us. We saw that bed that Brother Branham was actually laying in when it was translated up. They brought it over to the exhibits. But anyway, now your spirit, he says, you remember that vision not long ago, that little translation that when I went to that place and saw those people. Now your spirit will come back to that body, and that kind of a body, that soul, which is a body that does not have to eat and so forth. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting, a celestial body. And with that spirit and that soul and celestial body, you'll raise up again this natural body for that great millennium. See, you have the power in you now to do that. Just stop for just a minute and think about that. You have that power within you now to unite with your celestial body. God's waiting on us. Now, with that power that you have in you now, could make a new world. God doesn't have little weak spots and big heavy spots. That's powerful. The least little touch of God is omnipotent. See? The least little touch of God. So you see, so I'm trying to get you to faith now. You know, Paul said, if I have all faith to move all mountains. And Jesus said, but if you have just the faith the size of a mustard seed, and don't doubt in your heart, it'll move. You see, whether you have all or little, you have faith. The same electricity that turns on that light turns on those lights. Turns on the fans. Runs through the microphone. But it's the vehicle, it's the vessel that changes the way that it's manifested. Same electricity. Electricity doesn't change its form. It's an energy. Faith is an energy. You're the form. Are you going to allow that form? Are you going to allow that form to suppress it? Or are you going to allow that form to express it? You see? Because it's running through you right now. Brother Brown said, you have power to create worlds. From whose is Melchizedek? He said, before the foundations of the world, his name's put on the Lamb's Book of Life. Then from that, he becomes the Word, the theophany that could appear, disappear, and then he become flesh and return back again, resurrected that same body in a glorified condition. But you bypass the theophany and become flesh man to be tempted by sin. And then, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. We have not yet the bodies. But look, when this body receives the Spirit of God, the immortal life inside of you, it throws the body into subjection to God. Hallelujah. He that's born again doth not commit sin. He cannot sin. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. They walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There you are. See, that throws your body subject. You don't have to say, oh, if I could just quit drinking, if I could just get in Christ. It's all gone, you see? Because your body is subject to the Spirit. It's no more subject to the things of the world. They're dead. They are dead. Your sins are buried in baptism. And you are a new creation in Christ. And your body is becoming subject to the Spirit. Try to live a right kind of life. Now let me just say this. We already read several quotes where Brother Branham said, what you are here is a manifestation or a reflection of what you are somewhere else. He said, if your deeds are good, that's where your other body is at. It's up. He said, if your deeds are evil, that shows where you're going. Let me just tell you something, brothers and sisters. We need to become more sensitive to that celestial body. Because if you were, that celestial body will cause this body to reflect. And if that celestial body is word upon word upon word, this body will have no problem conforming to the image of His dear Son. For manifest the sons of God, Brother Branham said, for I say this unto you, 2 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, I say unto you, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe Christ died and rose again the third day, even so them that sleep in Christ will God bring with Him. For we say unto you by the commandment of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the parousia of the Lord, or the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent or hinder, the best word, hinder those which are asleep. For the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. These celestial bodies come down and put on earthly glorified bodies. And we which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. So we are the ones who get the body change. They come down to unite with the dust that's in the grave, but they are already young and full of health. They just come down to pick up the dust to make visible that which was invisible. From Questions and Answers, he said, one of these days I'm going to preach my last sermon, going to lay the Bible down like this and go home. Oh, what a time that'll be. And when this earthly tabernacle is finished here, it won't be one second till I'll be in that one yonder, and so will you. Oh my. No wonder they say this robe of flesh I'll drop and rise and seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, sure, moving up. Now, where is that? When do we have it? Now. Those whom He justified, He also glorified. And do you realize that our glorified immortal body is waiting in the presence of Jesus Christ right now, waiting for us to come? Do you know when a baby is begotten in this earth, before it's delivered, it's got life, but it hasn't been delivered. And just as soon as that baby comes to, before it is born, its lungs are all closed up and it's dead. Its muscles are quivering and jerking. But the first thing, just a little spark or a little spank or two like that, Brother Brown illustrates, and he'll catch his, and Brother Brown gasps, catch his breath. What's the matter? As soon as that natural body is being formed in the mother, there is a spiritual body waiting to receive it just as soon as that baby's born. And just as sure as this natural body is being born, there is a spiritual body waiting to receive it as soon as it goes out of this world. See, right back to Eden again. See, just right back. And from Shepherd of the Sheepfold, he said, we're here in this old feeble body pest house. But just think, after this earthly tabernacle is dissolved, we're stepping into one right over there, just beyond the veil. We won't be there long. That's right. We wasn't made for that one. We wasn't made to be angels. God's got angels, but we were created men and women. So that's the way we must be. And when we're up there in that celestial body, we're not in our right estate, you see. That's why they're under the altar crying, how long, O Lord, how long? You see, from the Message Life, we are born again, not of flesh, born again, not of blood, born again by the Spirit. And in that eternal spirit of love and honesty comes down to make its place in us. And then when we die from this life, we go into that body, which if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have a theophany to go to into a body celestial. Then at the coming of the Lord Jesus, His body is picked up from the earth again and made in a glorified state to live in His presence forever. Then all the perversions, all the things that was in the perversion, all goes out of existence. And from here His voice. And when the soul leaves the body, it takes its journey into a place of rest in a body that is in the form, a shape of this body, but it isn't this type of body. You'll meet your loved ones. You couldn't shake their hands, and I'd like to... I'd like you to add here that Brother Brown corrected the statement later on after he had been translated, and he said, I could shake their hands. You see, this is 1958 before he actually had that experience. But you'll be able to hold their hand because after he made his statement, God took him to that place, and he was able to hold their hands and touch them with, but not with a like a sexual sense. You know, he said when he was embraced by the sisters, it wasn't even like embracing your daughter. He said it was just there was no senses at all there. But you could talk to them. He said you could look at them. They looked just like they do here because when Peter and John and James saw Moses and Elijah, they recognized them on Mount Transfiguration. But it's a body. But then when that body, a kind of celestial body, when it returns back to the earth, it picks up the substance that it once lived in. And then it becomes a glorified body. And that body is the one that will see the Lord Jesus in his resurrection body. It does not yet appear what we shall be, Paul said. But we know we shall have our body like his own glorious body, for we shall see him as he is. All these wrinkles, these old wrinkled hands and broken down tissues will all fade away into the splendor of youth. You old men and women, remember this. That's a mark of the fall, your old age. But in the resurrection, there'll not be one mark of anything of sin. But why did God make you like he did? He brought you to a certain age. When you was about 22, 23 years old, you were at your best. You were eating food and getting stronger and healthy, and what a powerful looking person you was. Then after that, you become wrinkling away. See, death set in. But in the resurrection, all old age will be wiped away. And from hearing, recognizing, and acting upon the word, he said, then if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one waiting. See, just as sure as the natural body was coming forth, there's a spiritual body to receive it when it's dropped from its mother. And when it drops from the mother earth, which is it's in the womb of it now, groaning, crying, oh God, groaning, laboring, getting old in sickness and everything setting in the spirit on the inside of it, looking for a land beyond the river. It's groaning, twisting, jumping. Yes, sir, because there's a life in that that lives forever. It's in a body that's got to die. And sometime, just as a mother dropped the natural baby and the spiritual body got it, the earth will drop and the body of nature will drop and the celestial body will grab it yonder. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one waiting. That's the reason you forget the things of the world. They're dead to you. There's the spirit. Now watch. It was on the move now, the two spirits. The Holy Ghost is a new birth. We know that. It's being born again of the Spirit of God. That's how you're born by the Spirit of God. Born by the Spirit, that's the new birth, all right? You're begotten by the Spirit. Then when you're born of the Spirit, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, do you know that the minute that you're born again, God begins to build that celestial body for you to indwell? From questions and answers, Brother Brown said, This is a dying spirit in a dying body, but now you can't be in two bodies at the same time, but there can be two natures in you at one time. Now, the nature of the Spirit of the Lord, when you're born again, you're not born a physical like the baby was. But what's happened, the spiritual birth has come to you, and while this spiritual birth is growing into your heart of God, there is a physical or celestial body growing to receive that spirit. And when the life leaves this body, it goes to that body. Just as when the body is presented to the earth, the spirit comes in. And when the spirit goes out of the body, there is a body waiting. For we know that after this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. See, that's it, the spiritual body of the people. And from manifested sons of God, Brother Brown said, you begin your eternal life right here at the altar. Here's where you start eternity. Oh, you start eternal life right here. Then you're born again, a son of God. When your death strikes you in this body and the heart quits beating and the mortal wheels begin to stand still, that little shadow that was a shadow of a shadow, in 1 second it becomes a shadow of a shadow. The next it becomes a shadow. Then the next it becomes a trickle. And then the next it becomes a creek. Then the next it becomes a river. The next it becomes an ocean. And after a while you're standing in the presence of your loved ones, standing yonder, clothed in the garments of a celestial body that you know one another, you love one another, you turn back to a young man again, a young woman again, exactly right. It waits there until the coming of the Lord Jesus. And someday that glorified body of his, now remember that is a celestial body, not a glorified, a celestial body, and someday that celestial body will leave heaven with Jesus. Another place Brother Bram says, you see, Jesus is in his glorified body there, but the people are in their celestial. So they're still longing to be united, to have the same glorious body that he has. Now in 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And this renewal comes by the Word of God living and abiding in us, adding cell upon cell upon cell to our glorified body. From Ephesians 4 and 21 we read, if so be that you heard of him and have been taught of him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So there's your new man. There's your celestial body being formed in a right wiseness and a true holiness. And if you're born again, the nature of God, your nature then is God. It's God's nature. But if you're not born again, then your nature remains that of the world. So there is the nature that is dead and the nature that is alive. Now that we know that the celestial body, that we have a celestial body, we either go to or comes to us, how do we know what celestial body we will have? Or where will we end up? That's the question. You know, that's a good question. So I'd like to just read for just a couple minutes and then we'll close. From questions and answers, Brother Adam said, you cannot be here a spiritual sinner, you cannot be here a spiritual being, sinner or saint, without having an influence from the underworld or from the world above. If you're influenced from here, he points this way, you're from above. Your celestial body is waiting up there. But if you're wicked and hypocritical and indifferent, your celestial body is down there, regardless of how much you think it's up there. Because the fruit that you bear before people proves where you are from. So you are here what you are somewhere else. Your life that you live here is just reflecting what your inheritance is when you leave here. Wow. Your life that you're living now is a reflection of where your inheritance is waiting for you. Your inheritance is either the lake of fire or it's eternal life with Christ, coming back to a new earth, a new Jerusalem. From questions and answers, he said, your very life proves what you are. What you are, I said in the beginning, what you are somewhere else is what you reflect here. What you are, what your celestial body is somewhere else is what you're reflecting back here. In the spirit land, what you are is what you are here. Remember, look, the people that are on the other side, they all have celestial bodies. Some are in the fifth dimension. Some are in that fourth dimension. Or it was that sixth dimension, whatever it is. Fifth and sixth dimension. You see? They're separated. Because righteousness and wickedness can't be together. Light and darkness can't be together. But those people are going to come back and pick up their glorified bodies also. They won't be glorified, but they're going to pick up their body to be judged in. Because every man will be judged by what he does in the body of this flesh. You see? So if you're still vulgar-minded and so forth in the spirit land, you're vulgar-minded here. If you still got malice and envy and strife, you're in the spirit land with that. It reflects back here. But if your whole innermost being has become cleansed and purged, it shows that you've got a body out yonder waiting that's been cleansed and purged and it's reacting back in the flesh. Don't you see? See, there it is. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. So it behooves us to be careful how you talk, how you act toward one another. Don't allow malice to come in your heart. Don't allow anger. Don't allow resentment. Don't allow those evil things. Reflect whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is honest, whatsoever is good, whatsoever is just. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on those things. And from questions and answers, your very life proves what you are. What you are, as I said in the beginning, what you are somewhere else is what you reflect here. What you are, what your celestial body is up yonder, what your celestial body is somewhere else is what you are reflecting back here. In the spirit land, what you are is what you are here. If you're still vulgar-minded and so forth in the spirit land, you're vulgar-minded here. If you've still got malice and envy and strife, your spirit land, you're in that spirit land like that. It reflects back here. But if your whole innermost being has become cleansed and purged, it shows that you've got a body out yonder waiting that's been cleansed and purged, and it's reacting back in this flesh. Don't you see it? See, there it is. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. And in closing, from questions and answers, he said, here, as I've often said, I believe in the church here. There's a role here, like in here lives mortals, mortal beings. And each one is in this great conglomeration of gaiety, of blackness and darkness. Mortals live in here. Now they are either influenced from this away or from that away. You cannot be here a spiritual being, sinner or saint, without having an influence from the underworld or from the above world. If you're influenced from here, you're from above. Your celestial body is waiting up here. But if you're wicked, and hypocritical and indifferent, and your celestial body is down here, regardless of how much you think it's up here, because the fruit of that you bear, because the fruit that you bear before people proves where you're from. So you are here. What you are somewhere else. Your life that you live here is just reflecting what your inheritance is when you leave here. Do you understand that? We are right now, when I think of that, we are right now glorified in the presence of God, born-again believers. For this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. Not somewhere else, right yonder, already waiting. And these earthly bodies groan to be clothed upon with that immortality. Is that right? Sickness and aches and pains and disappointments and heartaches. And I'll be glad when this old pest house is closed up, won't you? Yes, sir, we can go home. That's right, we groan to be clothed upon, the spirit groaning. Oh, when you look and see all the pain around about, all the conglomeration, stink and sin and mortal living and deceit and everything, I think, oh God, how much longer will it be? And one last one and we'll close. From hearing, recognizing, and acting upon the Word of God, he said, now, have you ever seen this? You see in our churches today, even in the groups where we have separated ourselves and made organizations, and we've seen all of this, and we've seen a man pick up a certain scripture, and brother, that man can take that scripture and make it live new. Make it live just exactly what he promised here in the Bible. And the next man will see him do it, and he'll come around and try to do it, and he'll fail. Now, I hope you're reading this. He'll fail. Why? The scripture is not inspired to him. He's only trying to impersonate. He's trying to act like something he wasn't. Well, maybe he was sent by a man. Maybe some man sent him. Well, you can do the same thing. See, just like Jesus said it would be this way. The Bible predicts that in the last days as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. So are we just putting on because it's a show? Or is there something within you moving you to holiness? Moving you to sobriety? Moving you to a love unfeigned, not pretentious love, but an unfeigned love of the brother. And if you're not, then you're not linked up. You're not born again. Your celestial body is not where you'd rather it be. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we know that when we are born again, you said that when word is piled upon word, it'll take a hold of every fiber of the body. And we know that you said that our body, this flesh, is subject to our celestial body. So, Father, may that celestial body be growing daily. May we feed it thy word until we come into the stature of Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's sing that song, I Know Whom I Have Believed, and am persuaded that he is able.
I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him.